So it's always a pleasure, always a blessing to be here at Unity of Farmington Hills. So thank you for having me. I'd like to start, first of all, with our scripture lesson, Psalm 37, verses 3 through 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Welcome to Fantasy Island. I see some of you remember that show. It was one of my favorite. And part of the thrill was just listening to the opening line, Welcome to Fantasy Island. Fantasy Island. People went to Fantasy Island, had an opportunity to go to Fantasy Island to live out the fantasies, the things that they had pictured in their minds, the things that they thought were beyond reach, but they still hoped for it. They still wished. And you've probably been asked before, what's your fantasy? I remember in meetings people asked, what's your fantasy? We were at workshop kinds of things. What's your fantasy? And from different times in life, different years, we have different fantasies. But anyway, the folks at Fantasy Island got a chance to go there and to see what their fantasy could bring them. And so, think about it. What are the desires of your heart? Don't have to say it out loud, but what are some of the things that are your fantasies? To do this, you have to use one of the powers that has been bestowed upon you. We have 12 faculties. You've probably heard that before in Unity, the 12 powers of man, 12 powers of humans, our 12 faculties. And one of those faculties is imagination. And so that's what I really would like to explore today, thinking about that power of imagination. I call the talk, Now You See It, because when we imagine things, we see things in our mind's eye. And actually, people see things in different ways, but we use the word see. We see things in our mind's eye. We imagine them. We use our God-given power of imagination. Now, children use this all the time. They play make-believe, and there's no problem with them saying make-believe. They have make-believe friends, and they like even to play grown-up. They're children, but they're practicing being grown-ups. They play grown-up. Anybody remember those things? Yes, we played grown-ups and sometimes didn't do too well trying to walk in our mother's high heels, for example. But those are things that we use. We were free to use our imagination. Advertisers do this all of the time. Advertisers pay big bucks. Companies pay big bucks, thousands, millions even of dollars to have their product advertised. To use your imagination, to get you to use your imagination, to stimulate your desire to have something so that you will go out and purchase some things. So, some of the things, usually they try to get us to live grandly, to picture living grandly, having more. That's a Western ideal, right? More, more, more. Bigger is better. It's just the way we tend to think in Western culture. If we're doing better, you get a bigger whatever, bigger house, bigger car, bigger boat, bigger, bigger, bigger. So advertisers know this, and they try to get us to buy into it. What are some of the things that they advertise to make us feel that we're living grandly? Well, you've got to have, you know, are you hip? Are you cool? Or whatever the vernacular is today. You know, are you with it? Advertisers want you to feel that you are. And so, are you driving the right car? Now, if you watch the television or listen to the radio, you will hear, or on the internet even, you will see ads for various things. Well, different things over the years. One of the latest I've heard is, if you drive a Toyota, you're doing what? You're going places. Now, I don't know what happens if you drive other cars, but if you drive a Toyota, you are going places. Oh, years and years ago, I think Ford was first or something about Ford. I think Ford first. So, yes, think Ford first, and today drive a Toyota, you're going places. And I remember some commercials about Cadillacs. I don't remember the slogan, but remember them picturing someone who looked very confident, a man in a suit, and looks like he, you know, he's well-groomed, he's got on a suit, and he's driving a Cadillac, and of course he picks up a beautiful woman, and they arrive and step out of the Cadillac very grandly, right? Imagination. Do you picture yourself? You may not like those particular brands of cars, but you picture yourself. Maybe you think you don't like it, and you hear it enough, and maybe you start thinking about, or when there's an opportunity, think about that, or how does it look? Picture that. What does it look like? Now you see it, and they want you to think, now you see it, now you can have it, right? So we try to have it. Also, even drinking the right drink, sodas. I remember seeing a commercial about Coke recently where people are connecting. You pass your bottle of, you give a bottle of Coca-Cola to this one, and that one gives a bottle of Coca-Cola to that one. And if you drink Coca-Cola, you what? You can connect with people. Using the imagination, wow, I just got to drink the right drink. And also, I haven't seen this one in a while, but if you drink Pepsi, you stay young. Right? And so they show older people on the floor dancing with the younger people, and they've got a Pepsi in their hands. So, but what is this? It's using, having us use our imagination, the power of the mind, creating pictures, seeing things with the mind's eye. Think about it. When you are convincing people, if you're trying to persuade someone to do something, what do? You paint a picture. Oftentimes, we paint a picture with words to convince them. We want them to see it. Again, see it. Seeing it with the visual eye, but more so seeing it with that mental eye. Because if we imagine it, if we see it with the mental eye, the mind's eye, we are imagining. And we know that there is creative power in imagining. So why are people endowed with this creative power? It's one of our 12 faculties. Each of the faculties help us to express who we are as spiritual beings in this human experience. And so, how can we use it? Surely it's for more than daydreaming. Now, we may love to sit and daydream. Oh, if only. If only. Well, I wonder if. And we actually have talked, you may have used some of the, may have gone to workshops and used some of the tools. For example, an image page or an image book. Has anybody heard of an image page, image book? And you create a picture of what you want. You might even have a wheel. I remember years and years ago having a wheel of various aspects of life and writing things down in the wheel. And it's interesting, one year when I was moving, and unpacking a box, I ran across this wheel that I had created in a class maybe 10 years prior. And many things on that wheel had been checked off. I listed some places that I wanted to go. Travel was one of my places. And when I looked at that wheel, things that I just put it out into the universe. I'd like to go to Brazil. I'd like to go to, to Europe. I don't think I had been to Europe yet, and I'd like to go to, I listed some places. And when I looked at the wheel, I had been to all of those places except one. You see, we have to do things, and we just put it out there in consciousness. We imagine first, and then we start doing things to make it happen. So we use those powers, those creative powers, to create a quality life. That's what we want to do. How do we create a quality life? That quality life is a God quality life. We want to create a life that expresses God's absolute good through us, for us, as us. So expressing that God quality of absolute good. Now, we use imagination to apply the law of mind action. You've heard about that. It even became popular in a movie some years ago. The law of mind action, and we in Unity, in New Thought and Unity more specifically, definitely believe that thoughts are powerful, that our thoughts create our word, our world. Thoughts in mind create after their kind. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. You've heard this. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Let's say that. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. And that is so true. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm going to say, if we're working on healing, I'm healed, and like that we are. Now, it can happen. Jesus had risen to that point. Jesus was there. He knew it. So he could say, you're healed and you were healed immediately. It may take more steps for us. It doesn't mean that it's not happening, but still we plant the seed, we imagine, and then we work towards that. I think God-like thoughts and I receive God-like outcomes. And this is what we have to continue to do, think God-like thoughts and believe that we are going to receive God-like outcomes. So I'm going to say this again. I'd like you to repeat it afterwards. I think God-like thoughts and I receive God-like outcomes. I'll break it up. I think God-like thoughts.
I think God-like thoughts.
And I receive God-like outcomes.
And I receive God-like outcomes.
This can be a powerful way to visualize our good, our health, our abundance. Affirmations, as you know, we use them all the time in unity. But what are you praying for? What do you want? What images are you holding in mind? Peace, harmony, whatever you want to manifest in life, those are the things, those are the thoughts and the words, because thoughts precede words. That's what we need to hold in mind, and not just for a fleeting second, but to bring our mind back to it, especially in times of apparent chaos or busyness or, we're getting flustered, frustrated. Bring our minds back to it. What are you holding in mind? What do you want to manifest? Jesus used images all the time. He used images to tell us about the kingdom, to describe the kingdom of God, like a mustard seed. It's like a mustard seed. It's like a beautiful pearl. How do you visualize the things that you want? You create your own images, your own metaphors. Even the Lord's Prayer is an affirmative prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, and so on and so on. It's a long affirmation. The 23rd Psalm, popular things that we know and we hear often, across religions, across churches, those are actually powerful affirmations. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Those are affirmations. So they create images in our mind, and we use images in different ways. We have to choose to use the images, choose the images that we do use. Now, some people experience imagination in different ways. Some see in their mind's eye. Others will have a sensation or a feeling. It's still seeing what you want. Now you see it. Can you see it? Seeing what you want. The seeing it may be feeling it. You just know. Have you ever just known something so strongly? You just knew it was going to happen. You knew you were going to do something. That's your seeing. Some of us have visual images, and some actually hear things. Some people hear spirit speaking to them. So however you see, the point is you want to see. Now, can you see it? Now you see it. There's an expression, now you see it, now you don't. Now you see it, now you don't. But we want to have, now you see it, now I'm working towards it, now I have it. Dr. Elmer Green, who's a noted biofeedback researcher, says, images are the language of the body. Images are the language of the body. Think about the images that you hold and the messages that they send to your body. What are the images that you hold in mind? And what are those images, what are the messages those images are sending to your body? Are they calm? Are they relaxing? Are they healing images? Are they images based in love? What are the images? And if they're not, we have to adjust our images. We have to say an affirmation. If we don't say it out loud, we might not be in a place where we can say it out loud. You can say it silently to yourself. We don't want to get into the frantic rat race type of images. We don't want our images based in fear. And that can happen, but we can also realize it's happening and just step out and feed a more positive image into our consciousness. So what are your mental images saying to your soul? There's an expression that every thought is a prayer. What are you saying? What is the prayer that you are praying all the time, from time to time? What are the messages you're sending to your soul? What are your images saying to your soul at home? You want to be aware. We can just, our thoughts can drift off into anything. When they're not focused enough, we have to reel them in and bring them back to make sure that they are the kind of thoughts that we want to think. If you're praying for greater prosperity, what are the pictures that you are holding in mind? Are they images of plenty? If you want to be healed, what are the pictures that you're holding in mind? Are you picturing your body whole and strong? And again, it's not just it's not the magic pill. We're in a magic pill kind of culture. Something hurts, take a pill, make it feel better. Go to the doctor, make me feel better, make me better. Well, what are we doing? Are we counteracting whatever the doctor is doing, whatever the pill even is supposed to be doing? What are the images that we're pouring into our consciousness and thereby pouring into our body temples, pouring into our feelings? What are the images that we are holding? Pictures. What is the picture? What do you see? Several years ago, I was browsing through a bookstore and I found a book by Paramahansa Yogananda. And there are a number of books by him. His story is fascinating if you haven't read it, Autobiography of a Yogi. But this little book is called Scientific Healing Affirmations. And again, I found it probably a couple of decades ago, a long time ago. But the poetic style just created strong images for me. And I memorized some of the affirmations. I don't remember all of them now. But there's one in particular that I remember, because I think at the time, Pac-Man was out. But this is what I'll share this affirmation with you. I think my life to flow. I know my life to flow. From brain to all my body to flow. Streaks of light do shoot through my tissue root. The flood of life in vertebrae doth rush through spine in froth and spray. The little cells all are drinking, their tiny mouths all are shining. The little cells all are drinking, their tiny mouths all are shining. And I don't know why, but this may have been after the Pac-Man era, but I just thought about my cells as little Pac-Man, just drinking in, eating up the light, drinking in light, drinking, just gulping down that light. Going into my cell, to my tissues, and throughout my body, just making me whole. What are your images? Now that, for whatever reason, spoke to me. Something else might speak to you, but what are the images, and how are you letting those images serve you? Go deep into your soul, whatever it is that you are picturing, whatever it is you want. Maybe you're not picturing it yet, but you want something, you've realized, I need to change my thoughts about that. I need to change my images, the pictures that I'm holding in mind. Myrtle Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, wrote many materials for children. And I remember that she told the children often, paint pretty pictures. Are you painting pretty pictures for your life? Paint pretty pictures. However it looks for you, keep your images pretty. Keep them images of wellness if you're working on health. I started working with Yogananda's affirmations, and you again create yours and see what it is that you want to work on. When we're aware of the law, we can be clear about our affirmations, clear about what we want to do. Are you clear? What are you seeing? Now you see it. What are you seeing right now? You know, what is it that you see? Are you clear about what you want? And sometimes that is the issue. We're not focused. We're not quite clear on what we want. Well, I sort of. What is it that you want? This reminds me of a joke I heard some time ago. But there's a couple. There's a married couple. A couple who had been married for 25 years and had a wonderful marriage. They were both turning 60, so they were celebrating their 60th birthdays, 60 years of living, and 25 years of marriage. So during the celebration, a fairy appeared and said that because they had been such a wonderful couple for so long, that she was going to grant them a wish. One wish each, just one. What would you wish for if the fairy was going to wave her magic wand and give you one wish? So the wife said she wanted to travel around the world. Shh. The fairy made two tickets appear, tickets to go around the world. Next, it was the husband's turn. So he paused for a moment and said shyly, "Well, I'd like to have a woman 30 years younger than I." "No problem," Fairy said. Whish! Suddenly, he was 90 years old. Be careful what you wish for. Be very clear. Seriously, though, metaphysically or from a spiritual perspective, everything in the physical world began with a mental picture. Everything began with as a mental picture. So we want to keep our images spiritual. We want to see with the single eye, see with the eye of God. We talk about seeing with the single eye in unity as opposed to duality. We don't accept this good-evil fight. Now, we know there are things in the world that don't look like we want them to look. Not everything looks heavenly. At the same time, we know that God is all and God is absolute good. So while there are appearances of negativity and while we must deal with the negative appearances, which are, we say negative appearances, we've got to deal with the things happening in the world that are not as we know they ought to be. At the same time, we know that underneath all, the core of everything, God is there. You've heard the joke about the little boy digging through this pile of stuff, and why are you digging, through all this horse? Why are you doing this, digging through all this horse manure? He said, I know that there's got to be a pony in there somewhere. So we know that the good is in there. We just have to uncover it. We have to dig and get to it. Again, if you are holding that mental picture, picture this. What is the this for you? You're holding that picture. You know that the good is there. It doesn't matter what the outside looks like. Even though you may have to deal with it, you know that fundamentally the good of God is there. And that's what we want. We want, Matthew 6:22 says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, that is single, your whole body will be full of light. Seeing with the single eye, the whole body, your whole world will be full of light if that eye is sound or single. So, awareness, the whole awareness, the whole consciousness, how are you expressing outwardly? Think about how you're expressing inwardly or the messages that you're sending inwardly. We want to select thoughts that are good. Select only the good. There was, I think Flip Wilson years ago made it popular, what you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. So what you see, what you dwell on, having an isolated thought is not going to change things necessarily, but that isolated thought you could work with. If the isolated thought is good, you want to work with it and make it part of your pattern, seeing with a single eye. Be careful not to slip into dual-minded imaging or the duality that we try not to use when we think about new thought, unity, and spirituality. This is what Jesus was all about. Jesus never doubted. If you look through the scriptures, he never doubted. He made things happen. Think about it. Do you ever say, oh, I wish him the best, but I don't think he's going to amount to anything? Duality. I'm affirming health, but it looks like I'm going to get what everybody in the office is getting. And those beliefs are strong. Wait until winter gets here and everybody is coming down with whatever, with the flu or this strain of, everybody's coughing, sneezing, oh, it's going around, I'm going to get it. And yet you're saying, well, I'm affirming that I have health. Well, in addition to affirming that you have health, what else are you doing to, we live in a physical world, so what is that affirmation telling you to do? We meditate, we pray, we meditate, we go within so we can listen to God. And as we listen to God, when we come out of meditation, we're living in the physical world. What did God tell you to do? What did you pick up in your meditation? Or you might not have heard something in your meditation. You might be driving along and see a billboard that, oh, that's right, that's what that's about. It might speak just to you. Jesus never backed down from his high consciousness. Even when it appeared that he had arrived too late, at some of the stories you might remember from the Bible, the sisters came, oh, Lord, Lazarus, our brother, has died. It didn't even bother Jesus. Well, it bothered him in the sense that the physical of him, remember the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. He cried. He wept. he was hurt physically. But again, deep down, his foundation was there. What did he do? Lazarus, come forth. He said it knowing, believing, knowing that Lazarus was not dead. He didn't have to lie there and be dead. Same thing with a little girl who was dead by the time, dead by the time Jesus arrived. And he said, oh, she's sleeping. Wake up. Little girl woke up. What are the images? How strong? Most of us are not where Jesus was, but we're on the path. As long as we're on the path, we're working, we're getting there. Our goal is to be, because Jesus told us to do that as he did, that greater things we shall do than he did. We've got a ways to go, but are we working on it? So Jesus, the master teacher, set the example for us of seeing that the good is possible, regardless of the appearances. And that's what's so difficult for us today, all of these appearances, but see the good regardless of the appearances. Have you gotten too comfortable? Have you stopped using your power of imagination? I hope not. Don't just sit back in the physical lounge chair and, sip fruit juice and, oh well. We want to continue to feed our pictures, feed those strong pictures, images, see it, and also see it manifesting in our world. Charles Fillmore mentioned in 12 Powers of Man, that's the classic Unity book on the 12 powers, and Charles Fillmore mentioned that it's not just a matter of imaging, seeing, using imagination. With that imagination, we have to use all the powers. These powers complement each other. We also must use understanding or get understanding. There are many psychics out there, and sometimes people confuse the spiritual world with the psychic world. There are people who can bend spoons, and they are at the psychic level. You might use your imagination and see something or get something at the psychic level, but what about the spirituality? Understanding must come with the imaging. Many things don't manifest because it does not go beyond the imagination. But after imagining something, what is Spirit telling you to do to help make this thing, whether it is something tangible or whether it is intangible, to make it come into fruition? You may have to look at how you are eating. Look at are you taking something to help you avoid getting that flu that's going around, to help you avoid catching the cold? Or if you want if you want something new, if you want another house, if you want a new car, what are you doing? You're imagining it. That's number one. You see the image of it, the picture of it. Now you see it. Now you see it in your mind. But now what are you doing to make it happen? What are you doing? Are you listening? Are you doing your meditation, your prayer work? Are you feeding those good thoughts into mind and acting as you want to act or ought to act to make it happen? Are you saving the money you need to save? What are you doing in this physical plane to work with the imagination to make it happen? It will happen. It can happen if we do our part. Look around your life. How do things look? There's still work to be done for most of us. You may have to slow down. You may have to speed up. You may have to change some things from negative thinking to more positive thinking. But what are you picturing? Picture peace. That's something that most of us, I think everybody wants peace. What are you doing? What are you doing to make peace happen in the world? Well, you've heard the expression, peace begins where? With me. Peace begins with me. We want peace in the world, but yet we can't get along with our coworker. We want peace in the world, yet we can't get along with a family member. How in the world are we manifesting peace? Mass consciousness. Think about it. The mile, and I forget the details of it, but remember when no one had broken the mile, there was a certain speed at which breaking the 4-minute mile, yes. And what happened after the 4-minute mile was broken? Everybody started believing that it was possible. And then many others have run faster than 4 minutes. Mass consciousness. What are we doing to create a mass consciousness of peace in the world? Certainly now is a critical time that hopefully each of us is doing what we can do to achieve, for example, peace in the world. Peace begins with me. Make peace in your home. Make peace with your family. Make peace with your coworkers on the job. Make peace with people out on the street that you see, out in the community. How can you be peaceful with them? Peace will mushroom as we plant the seeds. Remember Jesus used the metaphor of the mustard seed? What are our mustard seeds that we are planting to make peace mushroom, to have more love in our lives? If you don't feel loved, how are you expressing love? Are you showing love to strangers? Are you showing love to people around you? Picture it. What do you see? Finally, will you make a conscious effort to see your life and the world filled with, again, love? A couple of things, peace, love, those are the two that come mostly to mind. So make that conscious effort to see your world filled with love. If we each will do these things, we are creating a prayer circle. Each person in this room, if each of us will agree, I'll just ask you, will you make a conscious effort to see yourself and people around the world prosperous? If so, say, yes, I will.
Yes.
Will you make a conscious effort to see your life and the world filled with peace? If you agree, say, yes, I will.
Yes. Will
you make a conscious effort to see yourself and people in your community and all around the world healthy?
Yes.
And again, the strongest one, I believe, will you make the conscious effort to see the world filled with love?
Yes.
You will have to decide how you do that. What are the images that you will hold in mind? In closing, I'd like to bring a couple of songs to mind. One of them from years ago, I'm sure many of you remember John Lennon, and a very spiritual person, I believe. But John Lennon's song, Imagine. And he talks about imagining the world. Imagine the world filled with peace. One of the things he says in the song, you may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. Oh, if I have a minute to read this, I'd like to read the words of John Lennon's song. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and all the world will be as one. And there are other verses, but this one is important to me. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. Again, if we form a circle, a prayer circle, a dreamer circle, and begin creating this consciousness and have our, like those commercials, Coke, remember, connect, pass it to this one, connect with that one, connect with that one. Let's pass the thoughts of a possibility of whatever it is you're dreaming for, of peace, for example, and love. Let's pass it. Let's connect. I'm not the only one. You may say I'm a dreamer. I'm not the only one. You won't be the only one if you pass it along, if you connect with someone. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. And that is ultimately what we want, the world to be as one. A song more recently is I Believe I Can Fly. Again, picturing images. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Remember that one? Think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. And what's the next line? See me running through that open door. Again, it comes back to imagination. Both those songs are about imagination. Do you see yourself in your mind's eye? Can you see yourself running through that open door? The open door of whatever it is that you're searching for, whatever it is you're dreaming of. But that's the important thing. See yourself doing it. When you can see yourself doing it, and then you work on understanding what you saw so that you're not just a psychic, you're not just about seeing things for the, oh yes, I could see this. Well, what are you doing about it? Or as I always tell my students, the fifth step is in questioning things, so what? What's the so what? Now, what's the so what? Why are you doing this? How is it going to make anything better? What is it doing for you? What is it doing for others? You know, why? What's the purpose? What's the point? What's the so what? So we want to connect. We want to use our imaginations. We want to soar, spread our wings, but not only for us. We don't want to do this alone. We want others to join us so that, in the words of John Lennon, the world will be as one. God bless you.